coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it on a Tuesday. It is Old School with Foreman and Orman. Foreman got a little delayed with an appointment. Bad Lincoln traffic. Never tell me it's not bad. He will be along before too long. But until then, we got the black shirt, the Husker Hall of Famer, the man who looks smart even with his glasses on top of his head, Terrell Farley. What's up, Farley? Thanks for sticking around.
Nothing much. I wanted to wait around. I'm waiting on Jay. I got a couple of bows to the head I want to give him for his texting me today, you know. Thought we was friends, you know, we not grew up, but we played linebacker together for 2 years. I would thought we would have a better kind of friendship than.
When you've worked together for more than 2 years now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, three years now. Going on my third year at the ticket. Think fourth. I don't know yet.
I will hit year three in January for me.
Yeah. Me?
For me, personally.
Three
Mine
for
was
you?
January. Yeah. Three in January.
Was you at the old building?
Just barely. I got there in January and we were here in September.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm a little bit ahead of you.
But you are.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. How was your weekend, Austin?
It was great. It was good. A lot of family time. I'm trying to think. Yeah, Saturday was a busy errand sort of day. Picked up a dresser, a couple nightstands for baby number two's room. Sunday had a little Labor Day get together with my family and the in-laws up in Omaha. That was a blast. A lot of fun with all the family up there. So. Yeah, no, absolutely no complaints. Little man was a trooper through it all. He's running. He's talking. He's jumping. He's laughing. I mean, I'm sure you know this with your granddaughter, Trout. I mean, just seeing those little ones experience stuff for the first time. They learn how to do something new. They finally listen to you. Oh, it's incredible.
Well, it doesn't sound like you had any time for football, Austin.
I had a little bit of time for football, mostly monitoring on my phone. But yeah. No, after the Husker game, it's not that I was checked out of football, but, you know, had stuff to do. It was on in the background. Of course, I had the volleyball game on in the background. And in case anyone wants to say I'm not a team player, I watched the first two sets, not, you know, hardcore, but I was at least in the living room for them. It's like, okay, well, they're down 2-0. I'm going to walk away, go do something else. I didn't come back until I think it was like 8-4 or 9-4 in the fifth set. So
who did they play?
Kentucky.
Oh, they was down?
They was down 2-0.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Lost the first one, what was it, 26-24? And then the one after that, I think 25-20, and then chipped away. And then they were up pretty big in the fifth set. Kentucky made a little bit of a run toward the end to get back into it. But no, Huskers pulled it out in Nashville.
That's a good one. Didn't know that.
Eric on our text line says, isn't there a saying something along the lines of, with friends like you, who needs enemies? Is that Jay Foreman to you?
No, that's not Jay Foreman. We know who that is, so we're not going to say any names, but we know who that guy is. Yeah, we know who says that well.
Cubsker says, got to spend my Sunday at the K watching Tarik Skubal dominate. Sorry, Austin. Well, he was kind of due. The Royals had won the previous two starts that Tarik Skubal had against them throughout the course of the year, so he was bound to get one over on the Royals. Playoff push continues here again today. Big week for the Royals. Got some ground to make up. The Angels in town for three, then the Twins in town for three. Of course, we are at Lincoln's home for the Royals, so keep it tuned right here to your 93.7 The Ticket FM station on the radio dial for everything you need on Husker football, everything you need on Royals baseball. Coming down the stretch, Royals are still out of it, but not out of it. They're out of the picture in terms of current standings, but only a couple and a half games back, with about 26 days left in the season. Sorry about your Braves, Farley. Everything kind of went off the rails early in this one with the injuries. So here's the next year for the Braves.
Same to your Kansas City Royals.
Hey, I just got done saying they're still in it. Don't put that on me.
You're not going to sit there and just belittle my Braves in front of me.
I didn't belittle them.
Sorry about the Braves. We should have beat the Cubs yesterday. Yeah, we should have beat them. We was up 1-0. I was watching a little bit of it, but yeah,
What did I say that in that entire string of words that belittled the Braves?
Yeah, I know, but
not a thing. I know. I like the Braves. They're fun.
They're America's team. They're America's baseball team. It sure is not
Come
the
on.
Who's America's baseball team?
It's the Yankees.
Okay, but we're up there. Kansas City, sure not.
No, they're not. I'm not saying that. I mean, this is the Yankees and the Dodgers are the two.
Yeah.
So.
But.
What if I told you, Farley, Ronald Acuna Jr. was supposed to be a Kansas City Royal?
Well, too bad. He's a Brave now.
He is. And that's very fortunate for you. But with all sorts of family ties, I think he at one point had signed with the Royals, or the Royals lost the opportunity to sign him because of baseball's international bonus pool money. They went over, I think, on a free agent signing or something, lost out on just enough money that Ronald Acuna Jr. becomes a Brave instead.
He's going to stay a Brave for the rest of his career.
I wouldn't be so sure.
I hope so.
I hope he is too. But I mean, if Juan Soto can get traded, Ronald Acuna Jr. can get traded.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in the same stratosphere of baseball player. Eric says, bleep the Royals. Absolutely not, Eric. Go Royals all year. And of course, like I said, 26 days left. They're almost done. But here's my favorite part of everything, Farley. Everything that happened over the weekend, I think, culminated in today when we heard from Nebraska's coordinators. Heard from Dana Holgorsen second. And he said he was proud of Dylan Raiola for just putting the ball in play. That's a baseball thing to say. Put the ball in play. Let your guys go make plays. Since Dana Holgorsen used a traditionally baseball-oriented phrase to describe football, I am well within my rights to do that as well. So I don't want to hear from anyone on the text line, oh, why are you talking about baseball? Why do you use a baseball analogy? Because Dana Holgorsen did. And if it's good enough for Dana Holgorsen, gosh darn it, it's good enough for me.
I think Dana Holgorsen is more pissed that they scored 14 points more than anything.
Dana was not happy.
Yeah. I know he's not happy with that. And you're looking at an offense that should be putting up around 32 points a game. If you look at all the talent we have with Emmett, Nazir Hunter, Barney, you know, first game jitters, you know, you try to be perfect, but you can't because, you know, there's going to be mistakes in football. That's going to happen.
Indeed. 402-464-5685. Appreciate your text rolling in here. Old Dad 34 chiming in. And Cubsker, hey, I appreciate that. Yes, I will find something to hook you up with in return. 0658. Enjoyed the weekend watching Norris send the Scut game into a running clock with a big victory. Yeah, one of the surprises of the high school football weekend, right? Thursday and Friday. Yeah, Norris absolutely dominated. Shout out the Titans for that one. Really off-brand performance from Scut. Curious to see how the Skyhawks develop. But speaking of off-brand, Farley, we didn't know what would be on-brand, what would be off-brand for North Carolina football.
Nah, not
48
really.
To 14, TCU rolls. They, of course, give up the opening touchdown to North Carolina. They rattle off 41 straight points to go up 41-7. Carolina gets the touchdown from Max Johnson to Jake Johnson, the brothers. TCU tacks one on late. Without knowing what to expect from this North Carolina team and Bill Belichick's college debut, I can tell you 48-14 in a loss was not on my bingo card.
I didn't watch the game like I should have, but once I seen the score keep going up and up and up, it made me not want to watch it. Then I get up and I see his little girlfriend walking to him during the game, which is inappropriate, which is not college football, which should be in the press box or one of the suites up there. Bill has a long way to go to learn this college football game. Not really saying it's his fault, but he's got to rally his troops and get them ready to play. He's the head guy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he doesn't talk a lot, you have to talk in college football, though. That's my part about it. You have to be a talker, mm-hmm. And I don't think he's a talker.
No, that's fair. And maybe it's different there than it was in the NFL. Maybe he's adapted and adjusted. Certainly not quick enough to help last night. CBS Sports put together some kind of crazy stats regarding this debut. Bill Belichick allowed the most points in a game of his career as a head coach.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. I mean, now just by one, because Buffalo put up 47 on him in 2021, but still one game into college, you're giving up the most points. It's the second worst loss of his career, again, by just one point, behind only a 38-3 loss to the Cowboys in 2023. He's trailed by 34 points only four times in 511 games as a head coach. Four times in 511 games. And one of them was his college debut. Most points in a season opener allowed by the Tar Heels. Biggest loss for them since September of 2018 against Miami. Mac Brown never lost a game like that in his second stint at North Carolina. How about this then? TCU posted its best team rushing performance since 2022 against Michigan in the college football playoff. That's less a North Carolina stat, more a TCU stat to me. It was a really good Michigan team for a couple of years there, Terrell, and there goes TCU in the regular, not in the, in the college football playoff, putting up numbers on Michigan. We know that was a surprising upset victory for the Horned Frogs, so good on them for that. Second worst rushing performance since 2016 for North Carolina. Then this is the one that I think stands out most to me. Bill Belichick has made three different head coaching debuts: Cleveland, New England, North Carolina. Didn't win a single one of them.
And here's one quote that I've seen what somebody said about North Carolina coaches, football. North Carolina football, where you go to retire at. You remember old man Mac?
Old man Mac?
Now you got old man Bill.
How about that?
So I don't know how long it's going to last. If he goes 0-12, you think he comes? Well, he probably come back to try to get revenge. But
now his buyout isn't prohibitive by any means.
Yeah.
But there's no way he walks away after just 1 year, right? There's no way they walk away from him after just 1 year. Hey, is there?
I don't know. To get your butt kicked like that, it'll make me want to walk away after one game.
2280 says, biggest shock of that North Carolina game was Lopez getting the quarterback start for a Bill Belichick team. He was not good at all. Lopez wasn't great, but to me, it was more the defense, I think, for North Carolina. They come out, the offense does score on the first drive, and then, yeah, I know they went into a shell. But that's a decent to above average TCU offense. That's not a top 25 offense in the sport TCU offense that looked unstoppable.
Did they get the quarterback from UAB?
Gio Lopez was from South Alabama.
Okay, yes, Trent, yeah, South Alabama. Mm-hmm. Why would you go to a Division II and grab a quarterback?
Well, they're FBS. That's Sun Belt. Yeah. That's Sun Belt. Yeah. Lopez was really good. I mean, he was
saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. One of the breakout stars of last year in a big way for South Alabama. Let me go ahead and pull up his stats just so I know I'm not speaking out of turn. But Gio Lopez was a name that people needed to know last year. I mean, 66% completion, 2,600 yards, 18 touchdowns, and five interceptions. That's just through the air. And if you look at that South Alabama team, 7-6, end up winning a bowl game, so 6-6 regular season. That's an average middle of the road Sun Belt team that he quarterbacked. And
Is that the Trent Dilfer team?
No, that is, how about this for name? Major Applewhite.
Major Applewhite, quarterback for the University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Major Applewhite took the South Alabama job. Of course, he was at Houston right before Dana Holgorsen got there. Wasn't a head coach from 2019 through 2023, and now is 7-6 last year and 1-0. This year. So an 8-6 overall mark at South Alabama. Here's the other part of the North Carolina conversation, I think, Farley. Did you, I know you said you weren't watching that much, but Kirk Herbstreit put the headset on the dog. Did you see the jokes and memes about that?
No.
I didn't realize that Herbstreit's dog was in the booth with him.
Well, one of them passed away, didn't it?
Yeah,
Ben,
last year.
Was that Ben?
Something like that.
Yeah, how many dogs he has? Oh, my God. But, you know, I don't know. I'm a dog guy myself.
Do you own a dog?
I own three dogs.
Do you post major life event pictures with your dogs?
No.
Because you're a normal human.
Yeah. I mean, I post them every once in a while. Let me tell you something I did with my dog last night. It rained all yesterday, so he's outside for 3 hours. He runs back and forth down the fence because there's a girl dog next door. It's muddy.
Mm-hmm.
I take some of my body wash and I soap a towel up and I wash his feet off before he come in the house because he tracks mud all in the house. And we had just put down hardwood floors and it's like going through hell and back. You know, it's like having three kids that run in and out of the house. But the best thing about my dog, I'm going to record this, though. My dog can open the back door with his teeth, pull it, and let himself in the house. It's a border collie. He's smart like that.
Wow.
And the neighbors seen it the other day because we was all out doing yard work. And they was like, hey, do you know your dog can let himself in the house? I said, yeah. Too bad he can't let his brother them in and out because he's selfish like that.
Dang.
You know, he just lets himself out. He'll just push the door to get out. But coming back in, it's amazing when you see it.
That's crazy. I need to get on my soapbox here for a minute. And I know that Herb Street's dogs are with him, you know, emotional support animals and that whole nine yards. And I'm not saying that I have an issue with that, right? Do what you need to do, absolutely. You know what I do have an issue with, Farley?
What's that?
Dog owners that post like major life event pictures with their dog.
Some people are just dog lovers.
If you get engaged and your dog is in your pictures,
he's the best man.
I lose respect for you.
Dogs can't.
If you announce your pregnancy and your dog is there, I lose a little bit of respect for you. Why does your dog need to be there? Maybe I'm cold. Maybe I'm cruel. Maybe I'm heartless. Maybe
I think you are. Do you need
your dog in the pictures? It's not about the dog. It's about you.
You need a pet, Austin. You need a pet.
I have a cat.
You have a cat. I'm not going to say anything about cat lovers, but.
How many cat lovers have you seen?
I used to be. I used
to
be
in their wedding announcements and their proposals in their pregnancy announcements.
I used to be a cat lover.
1,000,000% fewer than dog owners.
I used to be a cat lover, but I turned into dogs.
I don't dislike dogs. I like being a fun dog uncle. You know, and again, I'm not saying you shouldn't love your dog. I'm saying, why does your dog need to be in these major life event pictures? They don't. It's not about your dog.
I told you. I wish dogs can talk because we can have the best conversation. I sit around. I'd rather be like somebody just said this. He said, I'd rather hang out with my dog than people. That's me.
Fine, but why do they need to be in your wedding pictures?
Because they're part of the family.
They're a dog.
I got three. I got three other sons. I got three sons. I really have four sons. I got my boy. I only have one son. Then I got three dogs. They're my boys.
Okay, they're your boys. They're your homies. They're your family.
No, they're my kids. I raised them.
I cannot get on board with calling dogs your kids.
Man, they sleep in the bed with me.
I can't. I don't like dogs like that.
Well, one sleeps at the bottom. The other one sleeps under the bed, and one sleeps on the other side on the floor. Only one sleeps in the bed, and that's the I got two border collies, and I have a miniature Australian Shepherd. Mm-hmm. The mini Aussie, he's the best one because he's little. The other one are kind of medium sized, but they're my best friends. They listen to me. They follow me around.
Colgan J says, Austin's a cat guy. That's all that needs to be said. People who love dogs get it. Austin, sometimes your texts just need to be filtered through some kind of a buffer before they're announced on the radio. I am not anti-dog. if you love your dog, you love your dog. Go for it. Also, I'm not necessarily a cat guy. I was not the one that pushed for us to get a cat. This cat is the first cat, the first pet of any sort my family has ever owned. Did not grow up with a dog, did not grow up with a cat. And again,
what you had, a goldfish?
No.
Parrot?
No.
What you had?
No pet.
Yeah, so you had a boring life.
No pet.
You had a boring life.
I had two younger brothers.
Yeah.
And so what's the difference? But here's the thing. I'm not saying animal cruelty. I'm not saying mistreatment. I'm saying there is a line that we have crossed in society and that dogs do not need to be in family pictures. Yeah, they're part of the family, but come on, they're not your kids. They're not your kid. If you love your dog the same way and the same amount that you love your son or daughter, no. Love them a different way.
Okay,
maybe love them just as much. I don't know.
Them dogs would protect your kids better than you could protect those kids, Austin.
And you appreciate
them
for that.
And that's one thing that, because when they see that, I'm just saying, dogs protect kids.
I'm not saying they don't.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Austin.
I'm saying I appreciate them and I respect them.
Somebody said Austin is a dog hater.
Come on, animals should be treated like family. Dogs are way better than people. If dogs could talk, I wouldn't want to be around them. I talk to my dog like he's a human. Cubsker, dogs are family, yes, but there's no need to do all that.
So me and Jake had this me and Jake had this conversation one day. Jake said, if you can have a beer, and you know I don't drink, so, but what I'm saying is, Jake said, if you can have a beer, who would you want to have it with? I said two answers. I said Bigfoot and my dogs, just to see how they, you know, they have a talk with them. Dogs are lovely, Austin. I mean,
I'm not saying they're not. I'm saying we've crossed the line as a society. McGee, I had a pet raccoon, deer, turkey, cow, goat, all of them. Great. But did you take family pictures with them? Did you call them your child?
Yeah, they're your kids.
A dog cannot be your child. No, they are not your kids. 5124. Austin, if you had kids and they wanted the dogs in one of the family pictures,
I got your picture
would
now,
you
Eric.
Allow it? Now, I do have one kid, another one on the way in November. No, I wouldn't. It's extra work to cart the dog around. And as much as we appreciate our dog, guess what? They'll probably get their own posts on social media. But we do family pictures, what? Once every 5 years, does the dog need to be there? No. No, the dog can stay in the house for 2 hours while we're out and about taking family pictures. I get that they are a part of the family, but they are not a family member.
They are.
No, they are not.
They are. You've been hanging around Jay too long, man. Jay probably don't even own a cat. Jay is the dog. You know, he's a Great Dane. You know, just the way he looked mean all the time. Jay's a Great Dane.
0156, why does there need to be a line for unconditional love? I'm just saying, if you treat your dog like, if all you have is you, your significant other, and your dog, yes, it makes sense. There's going to be some only child syndrome going on where you love on the dog. But I'm just saying, once you have a kid, I hope you care about and for your actual kid more than your dog. I think we've crossed the line too far for some people.
Somebody said,
and I knew this was going to happen. I knew
listen
this
here,
was going to go.
Boy.
Again, I am not a cat person. I did not push for our cat. Just because I own one does not make me a cat person.
I understand that, but I grew up with dogs. My first dog was a chocolate lab, black lab. His name was Jeff. And then my dad got somebody gave us a basset hound. His name was Floyd. And then my dad got a bull mastiff. His name was Debo. And now I have Chief, Bandit, and Cash. My three boys.
They're three dogs.
Boys.
They're three dogs.
When I call them, I say, come on, boys, let's go to bed. And they come. Let's go, boys.
Of course, you call that to them.
Let's eat, boys.
Of course, you call them boys to them.
Yeah.
But they're not your children.
Yes, they are.
Dogs cannot replace children.
They can't, but they're...
Okay, there you prove
it. They're part of the family. They're like,
yes, they're a part of the family, but they're not a family member.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
All right.
5381. I hate when people drive around with their dogs on their lap. Yes.
I'm not that type of person.
No,
I let down
do
the windows.
Not have your dog on your lap.
I hate people that.
That is a hazard. That is a danger.
Okay. I let the windows down because my dogs like to stick their head out the window.
Yes, that's
so
wonderful.
Who doesn't
love seeing a dog with its head
out? You know
out
what
the
I hate, though? I hate people that bring their dogs in the stores.
Yes.
And they're not certified dogs. What they call those dogs?
Yeah, the service
support dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
I go in the store yesterday.
Crack the window, leave them in the back seat. Not that hard.
Dogs are children. Dog hater Austin. That's what somebody said.
Big B, dogs don't judge. They're happy to see you no matter what kind of day you had. They'll greet you with tail wags and kisses, and that's all that matters. Well, guess what? You know what's better than getting your face licked by a disgustingly wet and warm dog tongue? Is getting a hug from your year and a half old son. Da 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 da. That's incredible. Can a dog ever say da 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 da? It doesn't hit you the same way. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't hit the same. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Crowbait grew up with farm dogs, not allowed in the house, stayed outside. That's fine. 5124. What if my wife wanted the dog in the photos? Well, my wife's not a dog person. So guess what? Don't have to worry about that one. That is crossed off the list. Austin, you keep feeding into the dog pile. Pun completely intended. Absolutely. Yes. Here's the thing. I knew that this was coming. I knew this was happening. Eric, some of us aren't having kids, Austin, Mr. Judgy. Again, if you don't want to have kids, you can't have kids. Maybe it's your choice. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I'm not judging you for not having kids. I am telling you, if you say that you're a dog mom or you're a dog dad or whatever like that, No, you just have a dad. You just have a dog. That's all it is, right? I cannot and will not consider pets children. There is a difference. There is a line. And the animal is a substitute. It is not.
Go on Facebook
child.
And watch and put in dog and baby love. Just go to Facebook. Put
it's
dog
adorable.
And baby love. No, just watch how the dog takes care of the baby.
Yes, because it's a dog.
I don't know, Austin. You're strange now. I'm starting to worry about you.
Drumstick. Cats are fantastic. Not a huge fan of barking, picking up poop, walking them. Cats are chill. Yes. I would much rather own a cat than a dog. Like I said, I'm fine with being the fun dog uncle, right? Rudy, not Ticket Rudy, but my my brother and sister-in-law have a very energetic golden named Rudy, who I enjoy seeing a few times a year. I can pet him, give him scratches, throw a tennis ball a few times, don't have to clean up the poop, don't have to go home to let him out, don't have to take him for walks, don't have to worry about him bowling over my child. I'm not anti-dog. I'm anti how we approach dogs.
All dogs go to heaven, Austin. Just remember that.
Great. Cool. I'll see him there. I'll enjoy him.
You know,
cool.
I wasn't. I hate cleaning up after my dogs, but it's worth it sometimes. I mean, sometimes they can't hold it. You know, sometimes they stay outside all day. It depends what the weather is. But I'm a dog guy. That's if I can take,
you can be a dog.
Yeah.
Guy. I have no
if
issues
I could take my dog to Memorial Stadium with me and let him watch the game, he probably would sit in my lap and watch it. He watched me play Call of Duty. I'll watch my dogs watch me play Call of Duty. I'm serious. They eyes be on the game and they know what time it is. And guess what? Neither one of these have tucked my headphones, bitten them, or bitten my remote control. Now I'm one of them.
Well, you're just good at training them, Farley. It's impressive.
I'm not a trainer. They know the deal. Much as I scream and yell, they know not to touch them.
Stay away from that crazy guy.
Ooh, somebody's I'm on following Austin on Twitter.
Oh, darn. Oh, man. Whatever shall I do? Just kidding. I knew this would get people going. It's my opinion. It's my take. You know what? Come at me. I've said
we already had enough of you right now, Austin. I mean, hey, I'll buy you a litter box for Christmas, okay?
That'd be great.
All right. What kind of cat litter? What kind of food do you feed your cat?
He's on a special diet because he's kind of pukey.
Yo, so look, that's not worse than a dog, huh?
No, it's not worse than
a dog. A pukey cat.
I don't know. We're going to go to break. Brian Munson of Husker Online will be on the horn. Who's going to be on the sideline for Nebraska versus Akron? Give you that answer and more insight from Brian Munson of Husker Online after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back to it. It is Old School here on a beautiful Tuesday in the capital city. A little rainy yesterday, but it's cleared up. It is sunny and 75 here in Lincoln. We're headed to our Aloe Fiber VIP line, where we're joined on a Tuesday at 3:30 by Brian Munson of Husker Online. Brian, appreciate you taking some time after the Labor Day holiday, picking a new day out to come talk with us ahead of Nebraska football's first home game against Akron. How was your long weekend, good sir?
It was good, man. We went down to San Marcos. My son's team didn't fare very well down there against Texas State, but always nice checking out that part of the world. And then watched a lot of football. I mean, up to and including last night and the debacle in Chapel Hill. So that was fun, I guess, because I'm not really a Belichick fan. So that was enjoyable for me. And TCU obviously is across the Metroplex for me. We kind of follow the Horned Frogs over here a little bit. But yeah, it was good. It was happy to be back at work and excited to be talking about recruiting finally without like these theoreticals and who could be visiting. We got a pretty nice little visitor list already on tap for this coming weekend.
Before we get to that, you mentioned the Bill Belichick effect. Of course, your Bills fandom is well noted on this program. Are you disappointed in TCU for breaking the Bills record for largest, most recent loss? Or are you team TCU and, hey, records are made to be broken, go Horned Frogs, all that?
If it gets broken again this year, it wouldn't disappoint me. So no, I'm all for that record being broken, and just kind of moving ahead. I'm you know, I think that things got a little exposed for Bill as, you know, as Tom Brady moved on from New England. And I don't think things have kind of been the same. Nothing taken away from him not being a brilliant mind when it comes to football. But I think college is just a little bit different game. And I don't know, honestly, what you think you can kind of do when you get 76 transfers they were talking about last night? Was that the number?
Yeah.
It was some insane number. So 76 transfers, you're just going to go ahead and just take them out like in a bag and just drop them out on the floor and kind of figure out where everybody's supposed to fit and field a team. I don't see the likelihood of a team coming together and gelling, you know, when you have to build it like that. So I think there's a lesson here a little bit, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes for the Tar Heels.
Before we jump into the recruit list and visitor list for Nebraska Akron, Matt Rhule last week said a couple different things about recruiting. And I think first and foremost, the Kansas City game at Arrowhead Stadium. Do you think that moved the needle at all for Nebraska in recruiting, or will that be something that we might not be able to see pay dividends for a few years down the line when these recruits start talking about it?
Do you have access to my monitor? Because that happens to be the first section of my 3-and-out about how there were two very positive outcomes on Thursday night. The first one was obviously the environment. You know, you traveled a couple hundred miles south, you go to an NFL stadium, and you completely take it over. You know, 95%+ of the crowd is Nebraskans. And it was very clear listening to the broadcast at home and listening to the fans in the stands. It was very clear that it was dominated by Nebraska. But number two, and this is like, people are probably going like, well, what's the second thing going to be that he's going to mention? And it's really simple. Nebraska didn't lose. It would have been very difficult, I think, in year three to host visitors in week two and have to sidestep that, where you didn't win the season opener and, you know, maybe these projections of winning 9 games, 10 games, you know, or so kind of fall a little flat. Nebraska proved that they can, you know, claw, scratch, and scrape and get a tight win for the first time in a long time. And I think that, you know, people can kind of go back and go, well, the special teams part seems to be addressed. It looked pretty good. Offense was efficient, effective. Defense, you know, limited Cincinnati, but overall maybe didn't perform, I think, as some people might have hoped that they would have in year three, but they still got the dub. And I think that would have been a very, very difficult thing for Nebraska to kind of have to avoid or have to address on a per question, per recruit basis, you know, this weekend. I think that they should be happy and feel fortunate that they don't have to, because it's everything now is still in front of them. There's still a momentum here. There's no identity crisis. There's no reason to kind of go back and doubt things and whatever. You can still go out there and address things and move forward. But I think if there would have been a loss, I think that kind of takes all the wind out of the sail until you kind of get things reestablished. Now, at least everything is still established.
The other part about recruiting that Matt Rhule's talked about a few times over the last couple of weeks is just how important it is to get Nebraska's brand in front of potential recruits. And obviously a game like the one in Arrowhead Stadium does that for Nebraska national TV. And I think, like Matt Rhule noted going into the game, or maybe this was yesterday coming off the game, it's a different network because that was a Cincinnati home game. It was on ESPN, and Matt Rhule noted that, that's an SEC lean in a lot of ways in terms of the way that they've slanted their coverage. They obviously own the SEC network, and that's the primary media partner there and for the ACC as well. So Matt Rhule, you know, announced that, he'll be a weekly guest on Pat McAfee on ESPN, but also the launch of the House Rules podcast that he's doing. Brian, do you think that both of those, the podcast and the Pat McAfee appearance, do you think those, you know, will pay any actual dividends for Nebraska? Or is that just potentially lip service to, I want to do this, I think it could be good for the program, we're going to give it a try?
No, I think it will. I mean, I think that number one, it gives folks another source to maybe go kind of vet Matt Rhule and figure out, like, if he's, you know, the same behind closed doors as he kind of is out there in public, or is he, you know, like, is he a snake oil salesman? Is he the kind of guy that, you know, you can't be trusted, you know, because you get him behind closed doors, he'll tell you one thing, go out there and talk. So talking out of both sides of his face a little bit, right? And I think Nebraska fans have been very impressed with Matt Rhule going back to the, you know, basically that day after Thanksgiving a couple of years ago when he was announced as the head coach in the first place. I think that he said the right things. I think people are very excited about how he conducts himself. I think that they know he works extremely hard. I think to go ahead and pick up a couple more things for the good of the brand and keep pushing it out there, it gives people an ability to kind of understand more about Matt Rhule. I think the other side is too, is, and this is something I kind of thought about. Imagine if you're the parent or the friend of a potential recruit, and you get a chance to go visit Nebraska for a game, and you get a chance to kind of, you know, get sidebar with Matt Rhule, and you ask him about one of the points that he made on McAfee or his podcast for clarification, or suggest something else, or say this was really interesting. I think that those are the moments that he loves, because I think he's going to take these topics that he gets asked about, you know, behind those closed doors, and bring them into the light. I think that recruiting is a private process that I, along with my readers, have an ability to kind of get taken along for the ride with the recruits as much as they'll tell us. And I think that there are still those private moments. And I think that some of those private moments could see the light of day here a little bit as he kind of feels like it needs to be addressed out there in the open. I look forward to those kinds of moments and those kinds of conversations with him.
And I think the House Rules podcast specifically, I think it's going to get a rap from some people. Oh, it's so filtered. Oh, it's so basic. But I don't think that's how Matt Rhule communicates, right? He's not going to give away state secrets, but at least to this point, through 2 years and change since being hired, I'm willing to give Matt Rhule the benefit of the doubt that he's a honest, genuine, straightforward communicator who's not going to pull many punches, especially on his own little deal.
No, I agree with you completely. I think that his honesty and his transparency out there, you know, it's not. I've not really felt like in any moment that when he's out there talking that it's just coach speak. You know, I think that there's his nuggets have value and what he's saying, and it's, he's given it great thought, and he's not just going to go out there and kind of give you the regular, you know, the regular line that you go back and just say, okay, that's just a coach speak answer. And, you know, and I don't point the finger, I point the thumb, you know, and whatever else you want to kind of bring up. And that's a bad one just because picking on Bo, but it's the only thing that's coming to mind at the moment. But I mean, you just, the cliches so far have been gone with him, and you ask an honest question, you're going to get an honest answer. I think that's what's been so kind of refreshing about the guy.
We're talking with Brian Munson of Husker Online here on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. To business, Brian, Nebraska Akron, first home game of the season, night game. That's usually good in terms of the number of visitors and the type of visitor Nebraska can get. What is the list looking like for the Huskers on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm tracking about 15 names right now. Steve Wiltfong produced an article this morning. I got a couple names that go above and beyond like what he's got. I mean, there's some 2026 guys coming back, like Dayton Raiola and Jace Reynolds will be there. Both 2027 commitments will be in town. So Trey Taylor and Torrey Pittman will be in town. Then you also get your couple of other in-state offers in the 2027 class. So Matt Erickson, Kylan Haney will be there. But then you start getting into some really, you know, big time dudes, and they're mainly in the 2027 class. So you get like Edge KJ Green from Stone Mountain, Georgia. He will be in town. You get a pair of wide receivers that'll be visiting. First, Matthew Gregory from Pottstown, Pennsylvania, who happens to be a four-star wide receiver, and Jacob Thomas, who's from Miramar, Florida, who will also be in. But I thought what was really kind of interesting, and you know, we've talked about the importance of summer camps. We talked about the importance of the Battle of the Boneyard, the huddle recruiting orientation, and all that good stuff. And you're already kind of seeing, you know, the fruit of that labor paying off in the first home game. So Nebraska will host, and this is, I'm not misspeaking when I say this, 2029 quarterback target Christian Cypher from Carrollton, Georgia. And he was there. He played for, I think it was Hustle Inc. was the name of the 7-on-7 team when he was there for the Battle of the Boneyard. Picked up an offer like shortly after the tournament there in Lincoln. He's also holding offers from like Florida State and Arkansas. But yeah, this is a guy that's he's doing the math with my son. He's a ninth grader. And that's that's pretty wild when you get a ninth grader coming in to spend some time with you on a visit. But I mean, this is a 6'1", 180-pound signal caller already.
As a freshman?
At one of the premier high schools, or is becoming a premier high school in all of Georgia. And Carrollton is, it's funny because I have relatives there, and it's kind of a quiet town. It's got a Zaxby's. It's about, and maybe a Shoney's too, now that I think about it. But the fact that it has elevated itself to be in one of these schools that just perennially has, you know, one of the top players in the country is just kind of fascinating to me, just because I'm so aware of where it's at. So yeah, very, very interesting. So Christian Cypher will be there verified this morning right after Wilt Fong dropped his name. So we'll have more of an official look of the list on Thursday afternoon. I'll drop a list on Thursday afternoon.
HuskerOnline.com for that. Brian Munson _ on Twitter. I just can't get over the fact that you said 2029 recruiting. That doesn't even seem like a real year.
Hey, you're telling me, man. I mean, that's, 55 years after I was born.
But who's counting?
Not to really date myself too much there, but turning 51 on Tuesday next week. So it's doesn't seem possible. And just heads up, there might actually be a younger recruit than that in the stands. It's a 2030 recruit actually on Saturday as well. So a little teaser for everybody.
Man, that's crazy. Well, for the guys that are actually in years with numbers that we can conceive of, say 2027, and maybe even beyond, who are some of those important guys that, whether they're here this week for Nebraska, Akron, or could potentially be visiting, who are the important ones for Nebraska to make a big impact on while they remain at home through mid-October?
So Albert Simeon's another guy that'll be there this weekend, and he's a big one to keep track of. He has been back to Nebraska now multiple times. It's either been three or four times. I'm trying to think now. He was back for summer camp and the huddle orientation. I think he was there one time before that, and now he's here at least for a third visit. And where he is currently at, kind of in like the Rivals rankings, he's about two or three spots out from being a five-star interior offensive lineman. So keep a really close eye on him. I know it's down to I think LSU and Nebraska, you know, appear to be the top two contenders for him. And that's a very, very big one for Nebraska. I think they're in a good spot. And staying in Louisiana, Ahmad Hudson, who is a two-sport athlete recruit for Nebraska. He's also being recruited to play basketball. He is one of the best, if not the best, kind of athletes in the country. He's being looked at to play tight end, but also might actually play some wide receiver for Nebraska. He's very close with Trey Taylor, very close like with Albert Simeon. The Huskers are doing a great job recruiting him. He's out of Ruston, which is where Louisiana Tech is at. There's a long way to go here, and I know there's a lot of schools that are going to step up. LSU is certainly not going to be easy to keep away from either one of those two recruits, regardless how far away they are from Baton Rouge physically. But I think Nebraska could not be in a much better position with those two guys right now, still being that they're out there and uncommitted in the world. But I think with Simeon coming in this weekend, great sign for the Huskers. Hudson has told me he will be back this fall. He just doesn't know when. What's going to get really interesting, too, is him potentially traveling for a basketball game. So you're going to have more than one reason to bring him back. He's also going to have want to come back and check out a basketball game, because he is very serious about playing both sports in college.
That's a four-star power forward as of now, right?
Four-star power forward, five-star tight end. So very talented individual.
Nine stars across two sports. That'll get the job done. That's Brian Munson of Husker Online. Like he said, stay tuned for the official visitor list as we get closer to kickoff Thursday. Most likely there, HuskerOnline.com and Brian Munson _ on Twitter. Brian, thanks again for bumping back to you today. A lot of great stuff in there. As always, appreciate your time.
Talk to you next week.
That's Brian again with Husker Online, joining us on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Lots of great stuff going on at Aloe, including Aloe Fiber now being the official internet, TV, and mobile partner of Husker Nation. At Aloe, they believe in the power of connection on the field and in our communities. partnering with the Huskers as the official internet, TV, and mobile partner is about more than technology. It's about bringing fans together with reliable, future-ready service they deserve. Big shout out to our friends at Allo. Congratulations on being the official partner of Husker Nation in that way. We'll be back to wrap up Hour 1 of Old School momentarily.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back to Old School. Lost Norman with you, Jay Foreman. Just around the corner, he'll be here for Hour number 2. Short segment here, but going to be a valuable segment for you. $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings on the line. We will give $30 to our friends at Wings and Rings away to texter number 7 with the right answer to this question. Who was Nebraska's leading rusher in the 1997 Nebraska-Akron football game? Who was Nebraska's leading rusher in the 1997 Nebraska-Akron football game? 402-464-5685. Texter 7 with the right answer will get the $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings. Some basketball recruiting news that is pretty timely, actually, with Brian Munson there from Husker Online mentioning that Nebraska is still well in the mix for Ahmad Hudson out of Louisiana. Obviously, he's a football guy, but also a basketball guy. Well-rounded player, kind of a scoring-oriented wing so far. His 24-7 bio says he was the Ruston Daily Leader MVP and the Louisiana District 2-5A MVP. As a sophomore, he averaged 21 points, 14 rebounds, and 3 blocks per game. Had a 28.29 rebound game against West Monroe, 19-15 against Richwood. All-state player as a freshman. So darn good basketball player that, as a friend of the program, friend of the Corner 3, Jacob Bigelow said, Fred Hoiberg still kind of chasing the ghost of George Niang in some ways from his time at Iowa State. Could Ahmad Hudson fill that role? Remains to be seen. Nebraska's obviously got to get him on campus and got to secure the commitment. That would be a huge, huge commitment for Husker Hoops to be able to secure. Obviously, they're going to be working in tandem with the football program to secure the talents and services of Ahmad Hudson. That, to me, could be a Bryce McGowan's level get for Nebraska. And before you say, well, that didn't work out very well for Nebraska, I think the program is in a much healthier, much more stable spot. And I think that, again, this is not a knock on Bryce McGowan, but a versatile, do-it-all, ball-handling forward is something that Fred Hoiberg really knows how to work with, as opposed to kind of a project shooting guard like Bryce McGowan, who did only have 1 year here in Lincoln. And like I said, is mostly, I think, on the program, just the state of college basketball at the time. I would feel much, much better about Nebraska's chances to maximize Ahmad Hudson compared to what they had with Bryce McGowan. Nebraska doesn't miss out on Jacob Weber, a kid who played for Kearney last year. He ends up committing to Purdue today. Second top 100 guy the Boilers have pulled in. And Jacob Weber, the highest rated prospect that Purdue has landed since Caleb Swanigan back in, I believe, 2015. Swanigan was the top 10 guy in the class. Weber is a top 35, borderline top 25 guy with Nebraska ties, but I would not necessarily consider him a Nebraska kid. Grew up for the most part in Arizona, moved to Kearney last year, I believe, for I think it was his dad's job. Don't want to speak out of turn, but then actually transferred out to La Lumiere in Indiana to be obviously closer to Purdue. That's kind of become a mini pipeline for the Boilermakers. So too bad that Nebraska misses out on him. I wouldn't consider him an in-state miss necessarily. He really just had a pit stop in Kearney and did a good job for the Bearcats. Let's go to our Sartor Hayman Jewelers text line here for the $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings. Who will we be giving it away to? We have texter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, 8934. You are the winner of the $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings. Correct answer, it was Scott Frost who led Nebraska in rushing against Akron that day. 11 carries, 123 yards, just edging out Amon Green. 9 carries for 102 yards. Frankie London, 5 for 79. Karell Buckhalter, 11 for 62. Nebraska piles of 472 rushing yards on top of 172 passing yards. Huskers fumble 4 times, only lose one of them in a complete domination of the Zips. Final score in that one, 59-14. We will go to break. Jay Foreman rejoins me on the other side. We'll talk about what we heard from Nebraska football's coordinators and more in Hour 2 of Old School.